follow her work on Twitter at Coach McCarty. That's at Coach McCartan.
Okay, hi everybody. Today is, what's today? Sunday, May 15th, 2 days until my birthday. We've got lots of stuff for you today. Andy is on his way in. He's, I don't know exactly where he is, but he'll be here. There was apparently a big UFC fight last night. We'll get to that for him. This doesn't sound good to me. Hope it's okay for you guys out there. Also, I want to recap a lot of different things I've been doing. I've been very busy over the past, couple days, a lot of days, and I wanted to talk about all the things that I've been doing and a couple of things that are coming up that I will be doing, hopefully this upcoming week, and all that stuff. So we have also a soccer update, really a world terrorism update to get to, also some Yankees news, some more bad Yankees news. Some Mets. What do we got for the Mets? Some good stuff for the Mets. They're rolling. They always are rolling. And they're going to win the World Series this year. That's no doubt. But anyway, so let's kick it off right here. So I went to this past week an event put on by the United Way of New York City. And they were honoring... I got my first official press passes, which is pretty cool. I'm going to keep that badge. It's called the Gridiron Gala. You can look it up online. I wrote an article for it on the Jet Press as well. But basically, it's the United Way honors what they call hometown heroes, a player from the Jets and a player from the Giants that do well in their community and with a lot of programs and community outreach and this and that. So they honor them. And this year, they picked from the Giants, his name was Rashad Jennings. I actually had a one-on-one interview with him that I will play. I also have for you... and the Jets honoree this year was Eric Decker, my favorite. I love Eric Decker. I was actually able to interview... I was on the red carpet of the event, and I was actually able to interview a lot, or I think all of the guests that were there that night. So that was really cool. That was so fun. But, you know, I was a one-man band at this thing. So if you go onto my YouTube channel, you just type in Google. You can just type in YouTube, Coach McCartan. You'll see all the interviews come up. I'll play them for you here. But so you can have the video. It's always more interesting with video. I know that. You know, I was a one-man band, except for the Sean Landetto interview. He's a Giants Super Bowl winning, two-time Super Bowl winning punter. Except for that interview, someone actually held it for me, but otherwise I was holding the questions and the microphone in my left hand and the camera, my phone, basically, over my shoulder in my right hand. So the video quality isn't the best, but it does get the job done. And I'll preview that. I'll play some of those in a little bit. So basically, the United Way is a foundation, and all of the proceeds, they had a silent auction that night with a lot of cool stuff, a lot of memorabilia, number one, but events and experiences also. So they had a lot of stuff, and all the proceeds benefited, I believe, a reading initiative in the New York City schools. So that was kind of cool. So basically, you know, the story with the Jets is that they don't know who their quarterback is or is going to be. So when Geno Smith was apparently on the guest list, and Geno Smith is one of the four now quarterbacks here for the Jets. When he was on the guest list, he was a surprise. He was not on the original one. And then they sent out, when I got there, they had a different one with all pitchers. And I was like flipping through it. It's like, oh my God, Geno Smith is going to be here. Why? But he came down the line, the red carpet line. You could see it on the videos on YouTube. But he came down the whole line going to interview. And I mean, I was there with ESPN reporters. I was there with SNY, which is the Jets and Mets network. Jets.com was there. Jets beats writers were there, and it was just really cool to be a part of that. But basically, Geno Smith went down the line. I positioned myself at the end, which I think was a smart move because I stayed away from, or did my best in trying to stay away from, the bigger outlets that were sort of hogging the guys. So I stood at the end, and I got Geno Smith, and I asked him, as everybody was, about the quarterback controversy here in New York. And if anybody remembers from the Super Bowl, I want to say 2 or 3 years ago, Marshawn Lynch, the running back of the Seattle Seahawks, went to a press conference, literally answered every question was with, "I'm not here so I don't get fined. I'm just here so I don't get fined." And that was his answer to all those. And Geno Smith did take a page out of his book with his answers. And here you go. Take a listen. It's only 20 seconds.
Geno, what do you say to the critics out there?
Say nothing to the critics. I'm here to support my guy.
And how important is it for you to be here supporting Eric Decker tonight?
Very important. You know, Eric's one of the leaders on the team. Mm-hmm. He's also a great humanitarian, does a lot for the community, so very important to be here.
And then he smiled at the end like he got away with something. But I think I was the only one smart enough to ask him something other than about the quarterback stuff. I wish I went into more detail with him about Eric Decker and what he does in the community, but I mean, I was the only one smart enough to ask him about other stuff other than the quarterback debate. So that was interesting. He was very short, I guess, to the point. But, you know, he might be without a job come August, so I guess you got to cut him some slack, right? So that was that. Then a little bit later down the line, see, the thing was, Eric Decker was going live. He was coming down the line, then he was going live on the news. And they pulled him away for a second, and then I was like kind of watching Joe Namath come down the line, and all of a sudden someone tapped me on the shoulder, and there Eric Decker was there standing there waiting for me to interview him. And I was like, oh man. So I like got all my stuff together real quick, and I accidentally pushed the button. I hit record, and then I guess I must have hit record again, which stopped it. And I don't have my own interview with Eric Decker, unfortunately. It was what I was really looking forward to, and I don't have it. I after he walked away, I looked it down to make sure I had it, and I had a 1 second video of his feet. And actually, a girl next to me, she worked for a different Jets blog. She recorded it, but you know, it's not mine. You know what I mean? So I won't bore you with that. But I did get him to laugh. I will be seeing him on June 4th again. So I did invest in a video camera. I did invest in a tripod. Tripod's coming on Tuesday, so my birthday. So hopefully I will not have any other blips like that again, but that was very disappointing. And I really wish I got that. But I asked him about he went to a Rangers game with Nick Mangold, a couple of the Jets, but Nick Mangold in particular. If you Google it, Nick Mangold at Rangers game, you will see pictures of him. He sits right behind the visitors. I can't think of it. Where the visitors sit, and he pounds on the glass and he screams at them through the glass, and he tries to get into their heads and psych them out a little bit. And they had a picture of Eric Decker and him, and they're all sitting together and looks kind of embarrassed. So Nick Mangold sitting there and banging on the glass. So I asked Eric Decker, "Hey, how embarrassing is it to go to a game with Nick Mangold?" And he was like, "Well, you know," he laughed and he said, "Oh, well, you know, he's a real fan. I'll tell you that much." He went into a little more detail. If I can find the video for you, I will. The other girl's video. And then I asked him again about the Jets' new quarterback. I asked if he has met him, and he actually said yes, which I was surprised. And apparently he had good things to say about him. And here, and then as his wife was coming down, I actually, Jesse James Decker is a country music singer. This has 254 views on YouTube. But Jesse James Decker is a country singer now, married to Eric. They have two kids, and she is going back on tour. She has a new single coming out. And I did ask her, I really liked her, actually. I really enjoyed her. She was probably the best interview I got that night. And I asked her a whole bunch of different stuff. She's actually born in Italy, so here you go. Here's Jesse James Decker, 2 minutes and 17 seconds.
We had a big old plan about launching, and I'm very excited. So we're on the red carpet here. Who are you wearing tonight?
I don't know who this is. Honest answer. I honestly don't know. I picked it up at a boutique in Nashville.
Oh,
but I know the shoes are Jimmy Choo.
Nice. So how proud are you of Eric tonight for winning the Hometown Hero?
So proud. I mean, he's phenomenal. He's such a good person. And I mean what I say. He's probably the best person I've ever met in my life. And obviously I sound biased because I married him and he's my husband. But he what you see is what you get. He's just a good soul, and he deserves this. He really, really cares so much about our foundation. So for him to be recognized like this is just, it's exciting, and it makes me proud.
Now, you were born in Italy?
Yes.
Parli italiano?
Mi dispiace un poco.
Un po', un po'.
Yeah. I'm Sicilian, so it's a completely different language, but I was born in Vicenza. My whole family's from Corleone, but...
Corleone.
Yes. My whole family is Italian, yes.
Do you cook? What's the best Italian dish you make?
I am an amazing cook, and this sounds cliche, but I do cook an amazing spaghetti bolognese. I really do.
That's from the north. That's from Bologna.
It is, but I'm a better Cajun cook. My mother was born and raised in Louisiana.
Everything's spicy, that's why.
I love everything spicy.
There you go.
Yes.
So how was your Mother's Day?
Good.
It was great. I woke up, Eric brought me coffee in bed, and Vivi made me a card, and Eric had all these gorgeous pictures printed out of me and the babies. It was amazing.
Do you and Eric plan on doing anything else, any more things together besides the vlogs? Do you guys want to do anything else? In the works, like down the line, like other foundations together?
Absolutely. We're really big with the anti-bullying campaign, and I know that
I applied in my school.
You did? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So I know the Jets are really big on it. They are the ones that kind of introduced me to it, and I have always been passionate about anti-bullying because I was tortured in school my entire life. I still have anxiety about it today, and so I felt like it was something I could contribute to. And so we got to go visit one of the schools, and I actually spoke to them about anti-bullying, and it was, I mean, I didn't realize how passionate I was until I was in my mouth, and I'm like, this is something I really care about, so.
From experience. Speaking from experience, it always helps.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jesse.
Yep.
So that was Jesse James Decker, as I'm stuck here on the microphone. Andy is here. He made it.
What up? Am I on?
You should be on, yeah.
Yeah? Can you hear me?
Kind of. You're a little low.
Low?
There you go.
There we go.
There you go. Okay, yeah, so that was Jesse James Decker. And for those of you who do not know who she is, this is her new single. I'll play for you a little bit. This is called Lights Down Low. Live, actually. She was nice. I could definitely see myself hanging out with her for sure. I actually really enjoyed her. So, also that night, also big guests in attendance were what's his name? Who do we go with next? Let's pull up Joe Namath. If you're not a Jet fan, Andy, do you know who Joe Namath is? Yeah, even Andy knows who Joe Namath is, and he doesn't like football, but
he's a partier.
Oh, yeah, Broadway Joe.
Yeah, Broadway Joe. I know Broadway Joe.
Yeah, so I got,
You got an interview with him?
Well, sort of, yeah. I got a couple questions in, but you'll see in the video, and I directed people all to the YouTube page so they could actually see what I'm talking about, but...
Was he partying when you interviewed him?
No. But he had, like, a lot of the other outlets were there, and you'll see, they stick they already had their time with him, and then he came directly to me for me to ask him questions, and they jumped in, which is not right, but... You know, I did get some questions in, and Joe Namath is famous for a guarantee he made. He guaranteed that the Jets, when they made it to the Super Bowl in 1963, I want to say, when they made it there, that they were going to win it. So I asked him about the guarantee. Like, how do you guarantee something like that?
And they won it, right?
Yeah, they won it.
Yeah.
So here's my question.
Where were you that you guys were going to win that?
Let me start that over.
Mr. Namath, how sure were you that you guys were going to win that Super Bowl? And if you didn't win, how would that have changed history?
Sure enough to guarantee we would win. How about that?
If you didn't win?
Well, we would have come back and worked hard to try to get back.
When are the Jets going to be in the Super Bowl next?
Hopefully this season.
Could you guarantee that?
I wish I could. No.
I mean, that was kind of cool, right?
I like him.
He's a legend.
Every time I see him on interviews and stuff, I always liked him. He's very, I don't know, he's... You want to like him. He's just one of those guys who's got it.
He just says whatever's on his mind. And then they had, of course, SNY. That was it. I got 20 seconds alone with Joe Namath. And then, like, SNY jumped in. They asked him about, it's like a multiple choice test now. Like, who's going to be the quarterback, A, B, C, or D?
Uh-huh.
It's like stupid questions, you know? But
that's cool that you got to talk to him, though.
Yeah,
that's
awesome. He was cool. And then I saw him again later on, and I took a selfie with him. I had to.
That's awesome.
I wish I brought something to be autographed.
I actually watched that documentary about him that they made a couple years ago.
I didn't even watch that.
Yeah.
What was that on, ESPN?
It might have been an HBO thing or a Showtime thing, but it basically took, like, because he was, I guess, like the first sports figure that was, like, really charismatic and out there in the public and was, like, showy,
yeah.
like, you know, besides Muhammad Ali and everything like that, but for, like, football.
Yeah.
Because he had, like, restaurants and stuff in New York City, right, clubs, I think.
I don't know.
I think he had, like, bars and stuff that he owned, he would always go to. He was a little bit of a party animal from what I hear.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, yeah, I like him.
Yeah, it's cool. And then I asked him later on when I did take the picture with him, I asked him if he was wearing a Super Bowl ring because I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Of course I am. I only bring it out for special occasions.
That's awesome.
And he showed it to me, and I was like, oh, man, the only Jets Super Bowl ring ever.
That's cool.
It was cool. Yeah, it was really cool. And then the other honoree of the night is Rashad Jennings from the Giants. And here's what Rashad – I actually got one-on-one time with him because all the other – media outlets kind of packed it in at that time. And I waited like 10 more minutes, and then Rashad Jennings came down, and he went right to me. So a minute 43 with him.
It's humbling. It truly is. Just simply because, you know, I always tell people, ain't nothing special about me. I'm just in a special position. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so many great men that could have in our honorable for this award. And the fact that they chose me is just... It makes me want to continue to work hard in the community and continue to build on the things that I know I've been entrusted to do by God, so I'm honored.
And dressed very dapper tonight. Who are you wearing? We're on the red carpet here.
This right here is Turnbull. You know, and it's awesome. This is the second time I've worn outfits, and it's awesome.
So you delivered the commencement speech at your alma mater. What was that like, going back and what did you talk to them about?
No, it's actually coming up Saturday, this Saturday.
Oh, this Saturday.
Yeah, and that's another honor. Like, I can't believe, I'll be the youngest member ever to speak, like, be the 43rd Houston speaker at Liberty University this Saturday. And the fact that I get to deliver a message to a whole new crowd of men and women that's about to go try to apply their degree is kind of humbling.
And your thoughts on Coach Coughlin? I loved him. I was sad to see him go. What do you think about him?
One of the most historical coaches you're going to find in this walk away from the game. But one thing that I took from him, there's so many things I can say. That's phenomenal. But he said that faces may change, but expectations never will. And I think he led with that kind of integrity, and he walked away with that kind of integrity.
And then expectations for next year?
Win the Super Bowl, that's it.
Win the Super Bowl, that's it. That's everybody's... goal, I guess, going into the preseason is to win the Super Bowl for sure. Giants, with their defensive moves they made in the offseason, they may have a chance, but it's pretty much slim to none. And I think, what do I got? One more.
That's what everybody said when they won those Super Bowls.
I know. They had one, the Patriots had one giant loss, is what people are saying. But back, you know, to the Super Bowl, but I was interviewing another. Or a Giants Super Bowl winner. His name was Sean Landetta. He was a punter. And he... what are you doing? Oh, I thought you were raising your hand peripherally.
No, shoulder.
Sean Landetta is a two-time Super Bowl winning punter for the Giants who apparently knows Bon Jovi pretty well.
Okay.
So that's cool. So I asked him about that. I feel like I should have asked him more Giants questions, but I didn't really know how much time I was going to have with these guys. So... you know, live and learn, obviously. And some nice girl recorded this for me. The rest of them were just me holding the camera myself. Okay. But here's Sean Landetta, everybody.
Danielle McCartan here with Super Bowl winning punter for the Giants, Sean Landetta. No, once I wore both your Super Bowl rings. We've met before.
No, oh, I remember. I do.
So who are you wearing today? So you have a nice Giants tie.
Yeah, I do.
And the red carpet here.
Yeah, it was a gift, so anytime I do a Giants event, I try and wear it.
So the Jets just signed or are trying out two Australian punters.
Yeah.
What do you think about the Jets going all the way to Australia, halfway across the world, to find two punters?
Well, in the last 10, 15 years, a lot of very good punters have come from Australia and played college in America, so... both of these guys are very good in college, and hopefully one of them will be their punter this year.
And I read once that you and Bon Jovi played a joke at a Cowboys game.
Well, it wasn't really a joke. We wanted to get him on the sidelines, but we didn't want all 80,000 people seeing him, so we kind of disguised him a little bit, and he watched the game, and everything went well.
Do you still keep in touch with him?
Yeah, I do. I saw him several months ago. He's been a good friend for years and a great Giants fan.
Yeah, he's a big Giants fan. And then just my final question here. You said that retirement, you're busier in retirement than you were as a player. What are you up to now?
Well, I just have so much more time to do things in the community and in the tri-state area that when I was playing I couldn't do. So I'm lucky to be able to do that and enjoy getting out when I can.
And, you know, just one more thing. You presented your former high school with a golden football. What was that experience like to go back and do that?
It was great to go back, you know, some 35 years later and be in the high school in the halls. And it was really a great experience to be there with the kids. And I was really grateful to be able to do that.
I'm sure they were pumped, too.
No, it was a good day.
All right. Daniel McCartan, thank you, Sean Landetta.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Have a good night.
Good.
All right. So we are now live. Andy and I are now live on Periscope. Hi, everybody listening. We have 5 live viewers.
Oh, boy.
All right. Hi, everybody watching on Periscope. My battery will die in a little while, so we'll be on and off out of this Periscope. And that was, I think, my final interview from the red carpet of the Gridiron Gala, Giants and Jets, at there was a Midtown Hilton Hotel in New York.
Okay.
Awesome. It was awesome.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, so I had a lot of fun. I definitely want to go back next year. They want me back already next year. The guy already sent me an email.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's cool. Hopefully I'll have
I'm sure you will be back.
ESPN on my microphone now or something at that point in time. But
yeah.
So I have a major, major, major announcement that I kind of...
Yeah, I've been sitting here waiting.
Yeah, so it's not finalized yet, but...
Okay.
It's... and I know I never get on here and I never say, like, you know, things that aren't actually happened or have already happened, but... Everybody listening, everybody watching.
Here it comes. Drum roll.
I got an email from the Boomer Esiason Foundation.
Okay.
He was a former quarterback of the Jets. His son has cystic fibrosis.
Okay.
And it's May is Cystic Fibrosis Awareness Month. And they wanted me to do a sit down with Boomer Esiason and his son.
Who's Boomer Esiason?
Quarterback, Jets. Cool.
Right now?
No, former.
Okay.
And he's now, he does, on you ever hear WFAN in the mornings, Boomer and Carton?
Maybe.
Sports show. Oh. And he's also on CBS Sunday Football Countdown or something, but that'll be me.
That's awesome.
And Boomer and his son.
Boomer.
So I've lost a little sleep over it and trying to...
So like a full interview, like a full...
Yeah,
interview.
The lady said, I said, well, how long? And she said, well, maybe we were thinking about 30 minutes to an hour.
Whoa.
I was like... Oh, boy.
Well, you better have your questions ready.
Oh, yeah. I was listening to YouTube videos, Khan Academy, about what is cystic fibrosis. And
yeah.
I'm learning everything.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I can't awesome. Go in there like an idiot, because this guy may have connections to move me to maybe where I would like to be. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, we're just in the scheduling phase now, and, yeah, we're trying to find out.
Give you a little pounder for that.
Yeah. We're going to figure out a day and a place, and... My suggestion was to her would to be doing it in MetLife Stadium, because I think that would be really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll see what day, because obviously I work a day job too.
Yeah.
So but it's gonna be a little easier. Softball is ending on Wednesday finally, so I'll have a little more free time.
I know it takes up a lot of your time, so
yeah. So it's I like it though. I really do enjoy it. I'm really honored to be doing that, and you know, yeah. Hopefully it turns out all right.
Yeah, well, an hour interview, that's legit.
Yeah.
It's legit.
I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be easy. So that's that. That's my big thing. And then Friday night, I'm going to New York this coming Friday. I hooked up with some guy from a company, mintpros.com, his website is. And apparently he wants me to go. He invited me to all of his events that are coming up. And the first of which is an interview with his name is Joe Pepitone. He's an old-time Yankee. He's 75 now.
Oh, wow.
And he played with Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris.
Okay, so
he was
those
on
are
those teams.
Questions on there.
Oh, yeah. And I also want to ask him about being Italian-American, things like that. And
does he speak Italian? Can you do a little
I will try.
Italiano I know you're fluent.
Yeah. I talked with Jesse Decker, Jesse James Decker in Italian.
Oh.
Yeah, so we'll see. That'll be, I don't know how long that's going to be or many of the details of that either. I guess that's to be determined. So you guys will get that first on Sunday for sure. So I got, this week I got finalizing plans at Boomer Esiason. Ooh. I got that email on Thursday. I was eating my lunch at school. I almost fell out of my chair. Like the subject was quarterback Boomer Esiason. Like I don't know who he is.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, so I wanted to do it at the end of the month, but apparently he wants to do it sooner, ASAP.
Well.
So, I'm going to immerse myself in...
Guess you're doing it ASAP.
Yeah, I don't really... You know what? I'm going to do it. Just some breaking news, everybody, over the course of this morning. I don't really know too many details about it, because I did have softball practice this morning from 9:30 to 11, but some breaking news out of England... details are not quite known. However, there was a match between Manchester City or Manchester United.
Okay.
But basically, they found a see something, say something package, an unattended bag in one of the hallways of the match and of the stadium. They evacuated it and they blew it up as a precautionary
measure.
What
was in it?
They don't know yet. That's the breaking news. I was walking down the hallway to come here, and then
they had
just blown it up.
Wow.
Yeah, and I guess the match is now canceled for sure, but we think about, was it the Paris attacks that they tried to get into the stadium, and they didn't.
Well, yeah, you got to, they're trying to hit, I guess, the most populated areas, and a soccer stadium or any kind of sports stadium is definitely key targets.
Yeah, so...
Well, it's a good thing that they found it, even if it is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They're at least doing the right thing there.
Yeah,
so
tight security.
Good on them.
It's good to know. So if I am able to in a little while take off the periscope on my phone, I can do a little more information research while you talk. But that is breaking news right now.
Well, a lot happened last night in EOC.
Oh, I was seeing it on Twitter. Oh boy, I was trying to click on videos by the way to watch it, and it said you are not authorized to watch it in this country. I was like, what?
Yeah. Well, why don't you go in the right country?
And I just have to give out a shout out to, and they're listening now, I believe. They just retweeted my tweet. Bob Lazzari and Chris Mascaro, I'm sorry, Chris. They host, it's called Thursday Night Tailgate. And you could find them on, let me see, it's called, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/Thursday Night Tailgate. And they have, they partner with the NFL Alumni Association, I believe the NFLPA, and they get all kinds of veteran, former NFL players to come on and tell their stories and everything. So, actually, I was their guest on this past Thursday night.
Okay.
They interviewed me. They made it a Jets episode. It was Kerry Glenn, Victor Green, and me. They asked me, a lot about the Yankees, the Jets, and... Very complimentary. They want me to come back on during the season. So for sure, I'll give them a little time on Thursday nights.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So they're great guys. So you guys should check that out. They got great stuff on there. And it's for short TNT Thursday Night Tailgate. And Chris, I'm trying to see. You can just follow them on Twitter. It's @TNT Podcast. And you can find all the information from there, back episodes and whatever. So Bob Lazzari, I always want to say Mascaro. Sorry. I'm reading it. My handwriting. I can't read it.
Chris Mascaro.
Yeah, Chris Mascaro.
Yeah.
You guys are awesome. Thanks for having me on this week. And so let's go into... I got Yankees news, Mets news, and then you're up.
Okay.
So, Yankees news. more bad news out of the Yankees. And I have a theory. So, the bad news for the Yankees is that... we're checking our followers.
I just want to see how... How do you see what they're saying?
It comes up, live.
Oh, so you can't...
Yeah, there's, no stream.
Okay. That's cool.
My face looks blue because I'm going to turn down the brightness of the computer. I look like an Oompa Loompa. See that? Now I look normal.
Nah, you're all right.
So Yankees news. Listen, the Yankees are not doing well. They got a lot of issues. But Luis Severino, this might not be a bad thing. He was a pitcher, is a pitcher for the Yankees, young guy, highly touted as one of the best pitchers on their starting rotation. He's on the 15-day disabled list with a torn triceps muscle. That might not be a bad thing for the Yankees, though, because he's been pitching really bad. He's 0-6, and he's got a 7.46 ERA. And we talked normal.
You got to explain to me what that stuff
means. Normal, we talked, was about 2. 2 would be normal.
Yeah.
This guy's got a 7.46, and he hasn't won a game yet out of all the 6 that he's played.
Okay.
So Yeah, so it might not be a bad thing that the Yankees are going to bench him for a little while, because Ivan Nova stepped in and pitched in his spot yesterday, and he pitched well. And this is Ivan Nova, a quote from him. He said, "I felt a little pinch in the second inning, but I didn't think it was anything to worry about. It's a little soreness, not too much." And then the general manager, Brian Cashman, said it was a minor injury, and it was not because of the problem. The benching was not because of the problems he has had on the mound this season, but I'm sure that had a factor in it. And Cashman said he's not pitching anywhere close to his capabilities. It's not health-related. So Cashman, he's double-talking, and clearly has no idea what he's talking about. He should be the next Yankee to go. He's not doing his job.
What does he play?
He's the general manager. He puts together the team. He makes the trades.
Okay, so he's the GM.
He's been it for a while, and you know what? Change is good sometimes. So yeah. I think instead of getting on Joe Girardi's case, I think you should get on Brian Cashman's case, everybody. And here's my theory. So, you know, you're an athlete. You know that, like, before you compete, you have to...
Using that word loosely, I guess.
Before you compete, you have to warm up, right? Yeah. That's basic knowledge. It's 101. And I went to the Yankees-Red Sox game, like, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I saw all the Red Sox were out pregame, stretching, running, throwing, this and that. Not one Yankee was in the dugout. And this is, like, 6 minutes before first pitch.
Yeah.
I think the Yankees have this air about them that they don't have to go out, and because they don't want to interact with the fans and they don't want to sign autographs and things like that, so they don't go out there until basically the national anthem's playing.
Yeah, they don't warm up at all, nothing?
Not that we could see. Yeah, I'm sure okay. Their argument is going to be that they have this new facility under the stadium where they do everything down there.
They do?
Yeah, they do. They have a facility. Okay. But why so many injuries then? If they're really doing it the right way, Jacoby Ellsbury was just out. This guy, Severino... A-Rod is out currently. Why so many injuries?
Yeah,
I believe if you're out there and you're warming up properly, I don't think that is an issue. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I just think that they should really be out there and warming up properly, and maybe their injuries will be not so bad.
Yeah.
I don't know. But then finally, the other story for the Yankees is Chase Headley. He's been awful. Really, really bad. Like, minor league, send him down to the minor leagues, bad. And with one swing in the bat Thursday night, Chase Headley washed away 6 weeks of his abysmal baseball, maybe, is what they're saying. He hadn't hit a home run in 170 at-bats. He didn't have an extra base hit, like a double or a triple, at all, during the whole season. But then he hit a two-run home run that helped the Yankees beat, the Yankees their fifth win in 7 games. And he was 2-for-3 with 2 RBIs. And a single in an eighth, in the eighth inning, and 2 runs and a walk. So, and I believe the next night he came out and hit another home run. So Chase Headley, people get on his case too a lot because he sucks. He's not that good. He's not that good. He's a good defensive third baseman for sure, but they really need someone to bat for him because he can't bat. And his quote was, "I've been pretty crummy for a while, to be honest. I have a long ways to go." When you're playing in New York and the team's not playing well, you know you have to get it going. The confidence in the short term wasn't as high as it usually is, so it was frustrating. But apparently, based on this report, he's been working with Reggie Jackson, Yankees Hall of Famer, before games, I guess in the cages underneath the stadium, things like that. And according to Joe Girardi, Chase Headley is beloved in the clubhouse. Fans hate him, but I guess his other teammates do like him. He was mobbed in the dugout after he had his home run. I mean, it's a good story, but...
You need the positivity, because I think a lot of baseball is mental.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Groove and everything like that.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, if you're getting pressure from everybody, you need the confidence. I don't think you need to be undermined by your team to boot, let alone the fans.
That's true. Oh, and we have to stop for a station ID. Station ID is WRPR. You're listening to WRPR 90.3 FM in Mahwah. And on to Mets news. Mets pitchers. We always talk about the Mets pitchers being dominant pitchers. They're up. What did that say? Oh, somebody joined us. Hi. How are you doing over there?
Send us some questions.
Yeah, ask us some stuff. But Mets pitchers. We always talk about the Mets pitchers being dominant in their pitching. Oh, Andy, can you read that? It says, "Hey, how are you? We're very good. We're talking sports here. How are you doing?" That's the better question. The Mets have dominant pitching. And now their pitchers are starting to hit the ball. Mets pitchers have hit 3 home runs this week in total.
You're closer than I am.
Good. Good, thanks. I'm going to slide a little bit closer this way.
Yeah.
Yeah, they hit 3 home runs this week. Noah Syndergaard, who's on my fantasy team, he hit 2 in one game. And 42-year-old Bartolo Colon hit a home run. He's 42. Steroid user, though, in the past, so I'm sure they're going to be screening him
real soon. Everybody. What does it say?
Who do you have going for the NBA Finals? Obviously, if they're still in, it's definitely going to be the Golden State Warriors, I want to say, because Steph Curry is the story.
Where are you watching from, by the way? Let us know where you're watching from. But go ahead.
Yeah, no, I do think the NBA has a plan for the Golden State Warriors to win, for sure. In Pennsylvania.
Pennsylsylvania. Okay.
Hi, Pennsylvania. How are you?
Local kid.
Golden State. Steph Curry. He's been absolutely dominant. We talked about him, and when we had Corey in here doing the basketball special. Yeah. He's just our current day Michael Jordan, and I think the NBA will do anything to.
Whoa!
No, really though.
Whoa! All right.
Really.
You can't just be dropping that name when you're talking about. I mean, I don't watch basketball at all.
Neither, but he's the modern day Michael Jordan. He really is.
And I have who's this?
Steph Curry.
Yeah, I haven't even heard of him.
Yeah, no one.
I don't watch basketball. But
a lot of people haven't. Now people are starting to get noticing him, and they have tweets of professional athletes, football, baseball players that have his jersey hanging in their lockers because they want to be like him.
Oh.
Be like Steph, huh?
Be like so, Mike.
Exactly. So I think the NBA. Definitely has a plan for them to be winning that for sure. And because you know what, if they don't,
yeah,
you know what I mean. So game one is tomorrow for the Golden State Warriors versus the Oklahoma City Thunder tomorrow 9 p.m. on TNT. You guys can check that out. But back to the Mets. Not only is the Mets pitching staff on fire for pitching, they're crushing the ball too. I tweeted that the Yankees. Oh, yeah, we're talking Mets now. We're baseball fans, too. Yankees and Mets. Not only, they're crushing the ball, too. I tweeted that the Yankees should hire the Mets pitching coach.
Okay.
Like a tongue-in-cheek kind of thing. People are like, don't you know that the Mets pitching coach is the old Yankees coach?
Yeah.
Like, obviously, I know that. Duh.
Of course. Yeah, everyone knows that.
Yeah, the Yankees got rid of...
Including me, yeah.
The Yankees got rid of Kevin Long, and now he's in Queens. He didn't have to move far. He went from the Bronx to Queens. And they got rid of him because, according to the New York Post, the Yankees just were not producing runs. They're not hitting out of the shift, which we've talked about on here, McCann and Teixeira. And they missed the playoffs, and apparently someone had to take the blame. So, yes, everybody, I do know that Kevin Long is the new hitting coach of the Mets, and the Mets are crushing the ball. Not only are their position players crushing the ball, but their pitchers are. So maybe the Yankees should reach out to Kevin Long and give him a phone call back, because what they have now is not working.
What's the purple mean on the periscope there?
It's someone else joined. We have 3 live viewers.
Oh, wow. Killing it.
Hi, how are you? You're on 60-minute overtime. You can type in Google WRPR, and you can find us the live stream of the audio.
Probably sounds better than the periscope because it's kind of far away.
Yeah.
I'm having trouble reading it. We got to figure this out.
Yeah, we got to... Can we do a desktop version of it?
I don't know.
And I'm just trying to pull up a story. Page not found.
What's the story about?
It's a feel good story. Anybody knows Noah Syndergaard of the Mets? Hold on, Andy.
Noah Syndergaard.
So Noah Syndergaard of the Mets is like here it is. He's got the long hair. They call him Thor. They just had Noah Syndergaard Gnome Night. He's tall.
How do you go from Thor to Garden Gnome?
Syndergaard.
Yeah.
Gnome Garden.
Yeah, he can't be Thor.
The Garden Gnome is holding an axe.
Oh, you mean a hammer?
Yes.
Thor yeah, carries has a hammer. Hammer.
Yeah.
Thor carries a hammer.
Yeah, so someone else joined us. Hi, how are you?
What's up?
So Noah Syndergaard, this kid... If you see the picture of him here.
Yeah.
He's pitching the ball in his driveway with his dad. And they're calling him Mini Thor.
Was the kid got a beard?
No. Look at his hair. And he mimics his wind-up and his follow-through perfectly, the kid.
That's funny.
He's wearing. We're watching now. He's got a Syndergaard T-shirt on.
Kid's throwing heat.
He's throwing heat. He really is, though. And apparently Noah Syndergaard took notice of the kid, and the Mets did too. And they are inviting him to come to a Mets game to meet his idol, Noah Syndergaard. And I think that's pretty cool. I think a lot of teams should do more of that. Oh, and by the way, yesterday at Yankee Stadium, it was a bat day. Everybody loves bat day, including me. I was there last year. Because it's for kids 14 and under, but I got one. Mm. I definitely got one. It was a replica of Brett Gardner. He's just struck the guy out, and the dad's hugging him. So there's that.
Scroll up a little bit. Let me see him. No. That Thor.
Oh, that's him.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. not as big as Thor, but he's got the hair.
Yeah. But so it was bat day yesterday at Yankee Stadium, and it was A-Rod replica bat day.
Okay.
So, surprise, A-Rod was there handing out his bats to the people.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
They picked gate two, which is not...
Did a lot of people show up?
That day, the line goes around the whole stadium to get in.
How many of those people do you think were talking trash about him within the last couple of years, and then they show up to get his bat?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I can't stand that.
Definitely. I was always an A-Rod fan through and through, but...
I can't stand that.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But they picked the gate two, which is not the most busy gate.
Yeah.
You know, not the main gate. And they had A-Rod there handing out his own bats, which I thought was awesome. And like this, the Syndergaard thing, the A-Rod thing, I think more of the team should be doing that. Definitely.
Yeah.
In their community outreach and things like that, and just being available and being there. Because when you're hoity-toity, not interacting with your fans, really, it makes it really hard to be liked.
Yeah.
You know? So that's just my opinion about that. But we can get into more about that if you want. But basically, those are my highlights. The red carpet thing with the United Way, Boomer Esiason and Joe Pepitone. If anybody has any questions, by the way, for Boomer or for Joe Pepitone, please shoot me a tweet. Find me on Facebook, Coach McCartan. I'll be more than happy to ask your question for you, for sure. For those two guys, Yankees news, Mets news. Now we are on to UFC news because Twitter was a fire last night.
Yes.
And I did gather that Cyborg did win.
Yes, she did. All right, well, let's...
And then I was trying to click on other things, and I couldn't.
Okay, so. Well, we'll start at the bottom of the card. A lot of big-name fighters on this card. It took place in Brazil, and I'm just going to run up so I don't forget anybody. I'll just do the big-name fights. Antonio Rogério Nogueira, who's... his nickname's Little Nog because he's Big Nog's twin brother, but he fights at a lighter weight class.
Nog.
He fought Patrick Cummings, and... Patrick Cummings is like a stud wrestler, but I think he lacks a little bit in the stand up for setting up a lot of his wrestling skills, and he ended up getting knocked out TKO when he was still standing against the cage. He just wasn't protecting himself, and I think the ref stopped it. I think it was a good stoppage because he was just going to take more damage. What's that guy saying? Is he asking about this or?
What happened to Nate Diaz, Andy?
What happened to Nate Diaz? Nothing happened to Nate Diaz. He's just hanging around. I think he got a taste of. The Conor McGregor money, and he wants to have a second helping because I think he wants to wait around for that fight, or everybody wants to fight Conor because he brings in the money, and they're trying to figure out a deal now what card he's going on and all that stuff and who he's going to fight. Personally, if you're looking at not taking into account the money, I don't think that's a good fight for Conor to fight Nate again. I think he's just too big. Not enough time to gain the weight properly, not enough time to get used to that weight, and I think it would be like probably a repeat of the first fight. I just think it's too much too soon for Conor. He's used to fighting at 145, being bigger and stronger, and changing your entire game like that is a big deal, especially with the fact that how Nate fights. He's got a chin on him, and he's known for his cardio, so it's It's not a good fight for Conor, I don't think.
Who would you pick, Nate's brother or just Nate in a fight?
Nate's brother or Nate?
Yeah.
If they fought each other?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
I'd probably pick Nick because he's bigger and he's the older brother. He's got mind control over Debo, so to speak. He's also been around the game. I'm sure he's taught Nate a lot. And even though Nate's on fire and Nick's kind of like on the back burner right now... I think Nick would probably have the upper hand, just considering that he's a bigger guy, and they're pretty much, relative carbon copies of one another. So they'd cancel each other out in a lot of ways, I think. But I would pay to see that fight for sure. just because of the antics that would go on inside the cage.
Is that like a real thing? Could they do that?
They could set it up, but I don't know if they ever would. I don't think that those two would fight each other. You know, I don't know. They're very loyal to you know their camps and everything like that. And I don't know if they would. I don't know if they would fight each other. I doubt it. So yeah, he Little Nog won over Pat Cummings, and then after that, and I didn't see the early prelims because I was at a wedding. Congratulations to Mike and Cynthia for getting married. But Thiago Santos, what are they asking now?
Is Jose Aldo still fighting?
Mm-hmm. He's still fighting. He's trying to get the Conor rematch, I believe. You know, obviously, I think he feels a little embarrassed about, you know, since it was a long time coming from the the trash talk that him and Conor went through to get knocked out in 13 seconds. For sure, I think he feels embarrassed. I would like to see that fight again. Probably more than I would like to see Nate, if you're just talking about like a good fight, just because we didn't get to see it. It was 13 seconds long, and I think that would be a really, really good fight if it played out for a couple rounds.
Andy, what was this UFC number? UFC 200, was it?
No. I think it was 198.
198. Oh, yeah, 198.
Let me see. Yeah, 198. Mm-hmm. So Nate Marquardt fought Thiago Santos, and he got knocked out. I didn't see this fight, but... You know, Nate's been around the game a long time, and he just doesn't look like the same fighter. He's a little bit slower. He doesn't move the same, and he's taken a lot of damage. We'll just read. Oh, I don't know if you can read that.
Say that again.
Whoever that was, just say that again.
Yeah,
I missed it. I wasn't
send that
watching.
Message again. He got knocked out, and you never want to tell a fighter when to hang it up, but I think either Nate needs like a long layoff, but he's kind of older, so I don't think. There's nothing else for him to do in the sport. He's going to have to go on a tear to get a title shot. And, you know, at this point, he's got to be looking at his long-term health. And I just don't think he should be fighting for a while till he gets everything figured out. He needs to step away, in my opinion, just for his health, because it's starting to get scary. Damian Maia choked out Matt Brown a third. That's another fight I didn't see, so I can't really talk about that. And now onto the main card that I did see. Mauricio Shogun Hua fought Corey Anderson. That was just an overall good fight. It was very gritty. Shogun definitely won the first two rounds. He knocked Corey, at least in my opinion, he knocked Corey Anderson down at the end of both rounds. He almost finished him in the end of the first round. The second round wasn't as big of a knockdown, but he did catch him. So, you know, that was... That was good to see Shogun get the win, and the judges actually had it like, I think it was a split decision. It was 29-28, two of them for Shogun and one of them for Corey, which I didn't understand. The last round, Corey was just trying to, you know, hang on and win the round with takedowns and putting him up against the cage. So, what do you say?
Why did Brock Lesnar leave the UFC?
In my opinion, he probably left for the money for the WWE. He probably left for the money, and also, too, you know, he had the diverticulitis disease. He fought only like 6 or 8 months after that. So, I think he had more money there, and he was used to doing that. And he's one of those guys where if they were to bring him up slower and he were to, you know, just totally immerse himself in the fight game and get, you know, because he used to structure his camps only around him. Like only train him, which usually the best camps they have all like, you know, the best fighters at them, and he didn't do that. Like he brought in certain guys to do certain things, and it was pretty much like, you know, he did, like during sparring, one of his ex-sparring partners, Pat Barry, he said
hi Connor.
He said that when they were sparring, like he hit him. And, like, Brock freaked out, and they were like, yeah, you don't hit him hard. Like, don't hit him hard during sparring. And he's like, what are you talking about? So, basically, like, they just want him in there as a punching bag. So, I think if they were to bring him up slower, because they threw him right to the wolves, and he did fantastic for the competition they put him against. I mean, he won the belt and defended it. So, I think he could definitely come back. He's a freak athlete, and but it's up to him. If he doesn't want to do it, then, you know, he's not going to do good. Because you have to – fighting is not something that you try. You know, you don't just try fighting.
By the way, the Yankees just took a 3-2 lead with a bases-loaded walk in the third inning.
Oh, boy.
So,
So yeah, Shogun got the nod. He got the win. And then here's the big one of the big ones that everybody was looking for is Christine Cyborg Santos. She fought Leslie Smith. I kind of felt bad for Leslie because she got thrown into the wolves here. I mean, Cyborg is, in my opinion, the most aggressive female fighter to ever live, at least for MMA. You know, she walks outside her comfort zone a lot. She fought in kickboxing against I believe a Polish girl that nobody would fight for like 3 years because that's how good she was, and she took the fight. And she almost won. She knocked her down, I think, twice, but she ended up losing a decision. But, you know, she came out, and, you know, when you look at her, like, everyone, you know, she'd been caught with steroids before and everything like that.
Everybody wants to know, when is Ronda Rousey's next big fight?
Here's the thing with Ronda, okay? Ronda Rousey, when she lost to Holly, she was saying that she was going to take a year off, she didn't want to fight, and all this stuff. And then as soon as Misha beat her, she texted Dana White saying, I guess I better get back in the gym, which to me, because she already fought Misha twice, and she armbarred her both times. So it's like, well, you didn't want to fight Holly in a rematch right away, but you want to fight Misha because she won the title, and you've already beat her twice. You know, to me, it didn't really sit right, and it's up to her. She's filming a movie right now, or will be in a couple months, so, probably...
She's big time now.
Yeah, if my guess, I would say that they might try to stick her in at the first Madison Square Garden show.
Mm.
They might put her in under three fights that I can see her going against: Holly Holm, Misha Tate, or Cyborg.
Yeah,
it's one of those three.
Oh yeah.
So, because now that, you know, Cyborg came in and she just blasted Leslie Smith.
Was it a fast fight?
Yeah, she blasted her. She felt her out a little bit, and then she just ran and blasted her. And she hits hard. Like, she hits really hard for a girl. Like, usually you don't see, like, a whole lot. Like, not as many knockouts as, like, you do it. Like, usually it's, like, a ground-and-pound stoppage. But, I mean, she rocked her, you know, dropped her to the ground. I mean, you do see it, but it's just, like I said, it's just not as also, too, because they're fighting at a lower weight class. Like, even in the guys' divisions, you don't see...
Yeah, could she beat a lower weight class guy?
Yeah, she trains with guys. I mean, mm-hmm. she's no joke.
I used to play baseball with the boys until mm-hmm. I had to switch to softball.
Yeah, she's no joke. And she blasted her. In my opinion, the stoppage was just a little bit early because Leslie Smith was rolling with an arm for either a Kimura or at least threatening with it for an escape. But they stopped it. You know, Leslie Smith was a little bit upset with it, but she got the win. So I think their next move is to throw her right into the mix with either one of the champions or a title eliminator fight against either Holly, Ronda, or Misha after Misha defends or fights for her title. And then you had Jacare Souza versus Vitor Belfort, two guys that are, you know, they're just world class. Jacare is better on the ground than Vitor. He's better on the ground than almost everybody. And Vitor obviously is known for his striking ability. But the one thing that Vitor had to do is, not get put on his back, and that's what happened. He got cut on the bridge of his nose early in the fight, which to me was why he got hit with a lot of the shots he did, because it was kind of going in his eyes. What's that?
Someone said, are you watching the Yankee game? No, but I'm following it on Twitter. Apparently, T.D. Gregorius almost hit a grand slam. They're winning, though, 3-2, I believe. And apparently Didi, he almost hit a grand slam deep to right field. And the next pitch he grounded out on with the bases loaded. So, no, I'm not watching it. We don't have the YES Network in the studio, but as soon as I go home, I will be. I had a big group tickets for today. I could have been there. But I'm here with you.
So he ended up finishing Belfort on the ground at the end of the first round with ground and pound. I mean, Belfort couldn't do anything. He had a full mount really, really high up on his chest, so he couldn't even buck out. And he said, you know, the ref saved him from a lot of unnecessary damage. What's that?
He said, that's respect. R-E-2-P-E-C-T. Respect.
Respect. And then the big title fight, Stipe Miocic versus Fabricio Werdum. You know, everyone I think thought he was going to win because he's one of those guys that's been probably the best heavyweight on the ground to ever compete. I would say. I mean, that's a big statement considering you got, you know, Big Noggin there and Frank Mir and those guys. But he's definitely high level, very aggressive. And if you make one mistake, he's going to catch you. And also, too, his striking has looked phenomenal. I mean, he outstruck Cain Velasquez, which not a lot of people do at all. And but Stipe Miocic, I was actually, when I was watching it, I was with my two of my buddies.
Uh-oh.
And
hey, everybody listening on Periscope, go to Google right now and then type in WRPR. And there's a live stream link there because my battery is just about to die on my phone. All right, so go ahead. You guys can go do that.
I was watching it with two of my buddies, and they were, you know, obviously thinking that Fabricio was going to win. And I was telling them, you know, Stipe's a solid fighter, and one of the things that I thought he had going for him is that he doesn't really get caught up in, like the mental game of it, of being nervous before a fight and everything like that. And I don't know if you know, Danielle, that's a huge part of it is, you know, guys come in, you know, they're studs in the gym, and then they get in the cage and they can't perform because they're just, you know, they mentally break.
You know what? That's another thing, because the Jets just had a tryout with, if you know the name, Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah.
He's a giant.
Yeah, he got into the fight with the guy, the wide receiver, like last year, right?
Yeah, with the cornerback.
Yeah.
But his cousin, I even forget his first name, but the cousin had a tryout with the Jets. And apparently he had never played football before, but he looked like he would be a good football player. They cut him already. So it's like the same thing.
Yeah. So he even at the weigh-ins, like, you know, one thing with Brazilian fans, it's a little – I mean, it's good and it's bad because it adds, you know, excitement to the game. But they always chant if a Brazilian – in Brazil, if a Brazilian's fighting somebody that's not Brazilian, they chant, "You're going to die." In Portuguese. And at the weigh-ins and at the fight. That's what they keep saying. And they say other things. The whole crowd chants stuff that I can't say here on the radio. But you're talking stadiums that are like, you know, between 45,000 people all the way up to like 60,000 people. So Stipe didn't look flustered by that at all. He came in there. He was super relaxed. Probably like, you know, one of the most relaxed non-Brazilian fighters to fight in Brazil at that kind of a, you know, card, like a main event title fight.
Yeah.
And they were going out. You know, everyone, you know, both of them threw some heavy leg kicks. Fabricio went for a takedown, which was huge that Stipe, you know, shook it off. And then as they were going, I kept saying, like, if he didn't get the takedown early, like, it's a confidence builder for Stipe. And he's just one of those guys that's super relaxed. And I think Fabricio thought that he was a better striker, or if not, like, his striking ability was on par with his. And he started chasing him against the cage. And he was, you know, he was exiting out properly. He threw, you know, Stipe was overextending. He whiffed away one of the punches. Or Fabricio was overextending, and Stipe whiffed away one of the punches and caught him coming in with a right hook, or a right straight, right to the jaw, and knocked him out cold, bad. It's one of the more recent ones it was a bad knockout because he was out for a while, and even when they brought him back, like he didn't know where he was, he didn't pop right back up, but he was out cold, and Stipe.
That's kind of scary though.
Mm-hmm.
Did he get any medical attention?
Yeah, of course. They always do. Like, they always send him to the hospital, usually. They always make him go for medical checks, everything, mm-hmm. before and after, and all the weeks leading up and after the fights.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing was is that the thing with the heavyweight division, there's never been – they mentioned this last night on the show as well – that there's never been a heavyweight champion that's defended his title more than twice because
– there's that much turnover?
The reason is, in my opinion, is that those guys are so big that even if you're fighting a guy that's not on your level, they're so big that if they hit you, if they hit you right, you're going to sleep.
Yeah,
and the lower weight classes, like I was talking about before, it takes more, more skill, more technique, and you got to kind of hit guys with multiple shots because you don't have that weight behind to sit down on when you throw a punch. And these guys are just so big that they can shut the lights out. And, you know, a lot of guys that are in the heavyweights, you know, with athletes in the lower weight divisions, a lot of their skill requires a lot of speed. And speed, as an athlete ages, is the first thing to go. Power is usually the last thing to go, which is what the heavyweights rely on. I mean, they do rely on speed, but they always have that power to rely on.
Yeah, and I always think like boxing too, mm-hmm. like parallel to boxing.
And if you watch the haymakers, you don't really see lighter weight class guys fighting into their you know their mid 30s or late 30s. Heavyweights though, I mean, they'll fight until their mid and late 30s.
Yeah,
you know, you get guys that are you know you get exceptions. There's exceptions to the rule, but if you look at the average age of the heavyweight division, it's way higher than every other division. Huh. It's I think the average age in the heavyweight divisions like in the mid 30s or
is that for boxing too, you think?
Would say that again,
like the same comparison would be made for boxing
with as far as
weight class guys going later.
Oh yeah, for sure, because especially in boxing actually, because you know in the UFC and MMA you have more than just your hands. You know you can grapple, and if you're a strong grappler, you get a hold of a guy, you can take him down and finish him that way. And in boxing, though, like in the lighter weight classes, if you lose a fraction of speed, you know, you're like a tenth of a second behind on your punches, you it's going to look like you're getting murdered in the fight. You know, the difference in speed between like, you know, like a Pacquiao and then like a guy that's like just below him is so small. Like the speed is so small, but it looks like a huge difference. And it's just that's the first thing to go with fighters usually is the speed. Mm-hmm. And unless you have the power to back it up, you can't fight. Right. And also too, not just with the punches. I mean, your speed of slipping punches, getting in and out,
yeah.
you know, not dodging. Taking damage, your defense goes down too. So, you know, you see that with MMA guys too that rely on speed, like Anderson Silva. He's just lost a little bit of speed and now he's getting tagged with shots all the time.
Right.
So, yeah, but the heavyweights, they just hit so hard that, again, there's never been a guy that that's defended his title more than twice. And last week, the one that we missed, Alistair Overeem knocked out Andre Arlovski, and he should be getting the next title shot. And Alistair Overeem, if he wins a UFC title, he would be probably the most decorated MMA fighter because he's won a K-1 Grand Prix, which is kickboxing. He's won the Strikeforce title. He's won titles in Japan. He's won, and then he'll have the UFC belt. And he's done a thing which I think is really good for him, because he used to weigh in at like 265. He's been caught with steroids before, but he's a big guy. Like, he's very athletic.
He's tall, too.
He doesn't carry any body fat on him. But one of his problems is that he used to gas out. He used to get winded, and he also used to get very flustered and very didn't really have a good poker face when he got hit, because his chin isn't the best. He's not known for having a good chin anymore. So when he would get hit, he would just shell up and turtle up, and guys would just end up knocking him out. And plus two when he's tired. So now that the stringent drug testing and the weight cutting and all that stuff, he weighs in now about like in the 240s instead of like the 260s. So having that you know, not all that extra muscle requires, you know, he doesn't need as much oxygen to fuel him and everything like that. So he has more gas, which in turn I think lets him have a little bit of a better chin. But it also too, he's not as worried about gassing out, so he can kind of lay it on guys. And I think he's a little bit quicker and he's more patient too. So he's on a roll, and I hope he gets the next title shot. And I actually think he had a better shot against Verdum because they fought twice. But Stipe does have a chin, and he's not afraid to eat one to give one. So it's going to be interesting if he fights Stipe for the title. And yeah, that's the MMA news for this week.
So I just got this follow on Twitter by mm-hmm. Bob DeBuono, his mm-hmm. name is, and it's he's got like 1,500 followers, and it says he impersonates Donald Trump on Comedy Central's nightly show.
Oh, that guy right there in the hat?
Yeah, this guy. I just tweeted him. Call in. We'd love to hear your best Donald Trump on sports impression.
You're fired.
So, well, I guess we'll give him like a couple minutes. But,
yeah, and then next Sunday, or wait, not next Sunday, the Sunday after that, there's a UFC fight night. But there's not a lot of big names on that fight, and I don't think anybody would know. And then the one after that is 199 Rockhold versus Weidman, which is going to be a huge fight. You know, you got two title fights on that one. So, but we could talk about that next week since it's a little bit closer. And yeah. The return of BJ Penn is also on there. I don't know if you know who BJ Penn is. He's they call him the Prodigy. He's one of those guys, old school guys. Came in real young, you know, one of those guys that would fight anybody, anywhere. He's fought at 145 all the way up to heavyweight. and he's not a big guy. He's only like 5'8", 5'9". He actually fought Lyoto Machida at heavyweight. He just like ate donuts and stuff to just gain enough weight to go and fight him. And in my opinion, he actually won that fight. But he's a maniac. But he's actually training at Jackson Winklejohn, which is, you know, arguably most people think it's the best camp for MMA. So I think they're going to whip him into shape, because his problem has always been he doesn't. If he's not training properly, he's not really one of those guys. He needs like a good camp around him to push him and motivate him. And that was his problem when he started losing, that he just didn't have the camp around him to push him and motivate him. I think he gets a little laid back in camp, because he's so good, like naturally talented, that he relies on a lot of that, like just natural ability. And especially how much the sport's progressed, like you can't do that anymore. So not calling in?
No, I guess not. I guess we give the people a look at the Yankees live score, I guess. We'll check in. Just trying to buy this guy more time. And the White Sox are winning 4-3 now in the middle of the fourth inning. Yeah. Yankees are 15-20.
What time is it actually?
2:36. All right, great. So we'll set something up for this guy for next week.
Yeah, no big deal. For sure.
That might be cool. If he ends up doing it with us, that'd be so cool. Get Donald Trump on here talking sports. Imagine. The Yankees. They're terrible. The Yankees.
I'm going to build a wall around Yankee Stadium.
And we're going to make the Red Sox fans build it.
I got it. Going to go and set up the new studio for the podcast.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Andy was telling me how he was a little frustrated before. He couldn't get it done, so yeah. And he had to leave. So.
Yeah. I got to go home and figure that out right now. Go in the studio, do some work.
Good. Oh, and just a quick update on the English soccer match. About 24 minutes ago, I forget who was reporting it. Newsday magazine is reporting that the device that they found inside the stadium, the 75,000-person stadium, was a very lifelike-looking explosive device, but it was not an explosive device. So,
somebody just lost their laundry.
I guess someone just, yeah. But anyway, all right. So, for the good of the order, we have nothing else, I guess, right? So, thanks for tuning in, everybody. Everybody on what's that called? Periscope.
Periscope.
Everybody on Periscope. That's cool. Hope they followed us online to the live stream online, and if not, tweet it to him. I'll tweet it out later. I'll work on it as soon as I get home, downloading it and cutting it and editing it a little bit.
Cool.
So, Andy, where can they find you?
They can find me on YouTube at the Brodown Podcast, on Twitter at the Brodown Podcast, and on Facebook at the Brodown Podcast. And we're going to be having this live studio up hopefully by today. We're going to shoot a show. My co-host Zach is coming over. We're going to try to figure it out, work out the kinks, and then we're going to be streaming live off Twitch. And then afterwards, we'll post a video onto our YouTube channel. So, cool. The Brodown Podcast. Yeah, so come check it out.
Cool. And then again, guys, I'm on SoundCloud, YouTube, Twitter, at Coach McCartan. Also on Facebook, my author page has everything, too. Facebook author page. I think it's under Danielle McCartan. If not, it's under Coach McCartan. I'm not sure. Check it out. And see you guys next week.
All right, guys. See ya.
Follow me on Twitter, at Coach McCartan. That's at Coach McCartan. To find my work on YouTube and SoundCloud, search with no spaces Coach McCartan. Subscribe yourself so you don't have trouble finding it in the future. That's it for today, everybody. Listen live next Sunday, 1:30 to 2:30 p.m.